Good morning, everybody. How many of you know Andy? He is the adopted son of Nathan and Katie. And he is not here today because he went to visit his father in Alaska. So he texted me and said, make sure you tell the people at church that I said hi. So Andy says hi. Andy likes to text. Andy texts me every day. He usually says the same things. He doesn't call me anymore, but evidently he called Nathan at 5:30 in the morning and said, sorry, I was just bored. So he is in Alaska, and I didn't get a text from him yesterday, so I'm sure you guys did and know all about it. Yeah, Nathan is a lot more patient than I am. He would start texting me at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I told him, I says, Andy, I cannot text with you until about 4 o'clock. And so now he texts me at 3:58. So I just want to make sure that I said hello to everyone. And he loves this place. He absolutely loves coming to church here. And so he is a blessing. He's a blessing. Amen? All right, we're going to get into the message today. We've been speaking on Proverbs. And God appeared to King Solomon after he had anointed him king. And he said, ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And instead of asking for money or riches or honor or power or death to his enemies, he said, give me wisdom so that I can guide these people of yours. And God was so pleased with his request for wisdom. He says, because you asked for wisdom, I am going to grant all these other things to you as well. And the wisdom that God gave him was not just for godly matters. He gave him wisdom in science, biology, astronomy. He understood how the earth worked, and God gave him that wisdom. And so he wrote these words down in Proverbs. The wisdom he received, nature, science, and biology, were to help him guide the people and to let them know that this guy knows what he's talking about. So Proverbs is an instructional guide on how we are to live our lives. It's not just something in the Old Testament that was just written down for nothing. It is something that we can learn from. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you watch anything on television, there's not a whole lot of wisdom in our country. I watched a video on a guy that goes to different places in the country. And this time he just happened to be down on a beach in California. And he asked certain people on the beach questions. One of the questions was, who won the Civil War? One answer was Japan. And they kept asking questions, and they were, I'm like, what in the world? Who did we fight in the Revolutionary War? Germany. And I'm sitting there just absolutely dumbfounded on how stupid some people are. And if you don't have knowledge, you can't have wisdom. You can have knowledge without wisdom, but you can't have wisdom without knowledge. It's just the way it works. So last week we talked about, and we're going to get into wisdom a little bit here, but last week we talked about living life with intention. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways." Be careful what path you're walking down. Watch where you're going. If any of you have ever been around toddlers, one thing that they all have in common, they don't watch where they're going. I don't know how many times I've had to tell my grandkids, watch where you're going. Paisley would just take off on a dead run and then look back to see if I was watching her. And bam, falls down in a heap, gets up and cries. Papa says, watch where you're going. I'm doing a deck outside, adding on to the deck on the pool. And so I have all my tools out. I got my sawhorses laid out. I've got the boards and everything. And all the grandkids were coming over last night for a barbecue. I put all of my tools and everything away, because I knew 3 out of the 5 would probably run into them. I swear my grandkids all have dents in their heads. And what's the hard part is they grow. So what they used to be able to walk under, they can no longer walk under them. But they try. They will crawl under a table to get something. Bending over, crawling in order to get something under a table. And once they grab it, stand up. It's amazing. But we need as adults to watch where we're going as well. Teenagers need to take heed on where you're going, what you're doing, who you're doing it with. And that's what Solomon is trying to get. He says, I'm giving this information for people who are wise. I'm giving this information for people who ain't so wise. And I'm giving it to husbands and wives and children to listen up. Watch where you're going. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, "Not all who wander are lost"? I just shake my head and go, yes, you are. Basically, that is a license for them to do whatever it is that they want to do. To go through life banging their head on the corner of the table. Oh dear. Was that mine? Anybody else want to get up and check and see whose kid that is? Oh, man. But yeah, not all who wander are lost. I've heard people say, I'm a free spirit. As a Christian, it's incongruent. They can't be together. You are either a slave to Christ or you're not. You're either a disciple or you're a free spirit. We have to live our lives with intention. And when we do, God blesses us. God will keep you from going down a path that you really shouldn't go down. But some of us are so stupid sometimes, we go down that path anyways. I've said it before, and this is part of who I am. I thank God for protecting me in my stupidity growing up. Because I was not very wise. And neither were my parents. At least that's what I thought. The older I got, the more I realized, my dad actually knew what he was talking about. And he told me not to do those things because he did them when he was a stupid little whippersnapper. And he didn't want me to go down those same roads. So there is wisdom to be had. And we're going to start talking about wisdom here because Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. It's interesting that wisdom is personified here as a woman. And she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. We have to be wise enough to ask for more wisdom. God gives us just enough wisdom to ask for more. Solomon had enough wisdom to ask for wisdom. And God says, okay, since you utilize the wisdom that I have already given you, I'm going to give you more. So the beginning of wisdom is this: understanding that we need more wisdom in our life. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. So here we have wisdom explained as personified. So what is wisdom? I know Larry likes definitions, so I threw one in just for him. Wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The ability to discern or judge what is true, what is right, or what is lasting. That's the understanding of knowing what to do, how to live our lives just, fair, and right. And like I said before, if you turn on the news, there ain't a whole lot of wisdom out there. They think they're wise, but they're not. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 to 31, and this is talking about, this is wisdom actually talking. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Wisdom has always been there because it's part of who God is. It's part of his personality. And he wants to give that wisdom to us. Why? So that we can live our lives according to his purposes and according to his plans. Amen? So where can wisdom be found? Job had this to say in chapter 28, verses 12 through 15. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. You do not find wisdom underneath a rock. You do not find wisdom at the four corners of the earth. The sea says, it's not in me. In Job 28, verses 21 to 22, it is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. It is hidden from every living thing. Do you realize that God only grants wisdom to human beings, to mankind? That's it. No other living creature has wisdom. Just us. And how many of us just kind of fiddle it away? Not smart enough to ask for more. Obviously, in our country, there are a lot of people that don't realize that they have one speck of wisdom, just a tiny one, just enough to ask for a little bit more. Most people live their lives going, I'm fine. I'm okay. And they lack wisdom. It said it's concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death. I don't know what your translation says, but in my translation, in the NIV, in the NASB, those are capitalized. They're not just destruction and death. They say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. Destruction in the Hebrew is Abaddon. It is a place of destruction, a ruin, or, as we pronounce it, Abaddon. But here it is personified. So destruction doesn't even understand wisdom. Abaddon does not understand wisdom. In Revelation, we're going to take a look at this Abaddon or Abaddon. In Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. And when he opened the abyss, or the bottomless pit, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. Has anybody ever been stung by a scorpion? How bad is it? Really? Because I've been stung by hornets, those bald-faced hornets, and those hurt. Those hurt. Yellow jackets, honeybees are, you know, eh. But hornets, you feel it the instant they sting you. And I've never been stung by a scorpion, but put yourself into this situation with these little buggers flying around, and they don't have the power to kill you. We're going to go on here. The locusts look like horses. Wait a minute. During those days, people will seek death but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. That's how bad it hurts. They just want to die. So the locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like that the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails with stingers like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them in the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek is Apollyon, which means the destroyer. So in the end times, God allows Abaddon to go into the abyss and release these creatures onto the earth. Now it says that they are not allowed to attack or sting those people who have God's mark on them. But everyone else is fair game. So as a Christian, you don't have to deal with this. But put yourself into the situation. I like to do that. You're watching these things torment people. Not you, but other people that you may love who do not have God's mark on them. It's terrifying, is it not? It would be horrible to witness this. My mom is not a believer, so I would have to sit there and watch her get attacked. But God allowed Abaddon to release these things for a time. You see, all the enemies of God only have the power to do what God allows them to do. Only for a time, until he comes and makes everything right. The word death is capitalized, and in the Hebrew, it is maveth, which means the realm of the dead or death personified. It's like our version of the Grim Reaper. So it is personified. Job says this about wisdom in 28 verses 23 and 24. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. James has this to say in chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We have no reason to not have wisdom. And this is a quote, you can write it down, from Pastor Jim. We are given just enough wisdom to ask for more. We're given just enough to ask for more. How many of us do that? How many of us face things in our lives and we don't ask for wisdom on which path to go down? Which way should we go? Should I go down this road? I have people that come to me for counseling and they're on their fourth marriage and their marriage is not going well. That is a person who has not chosen wisely. I can understand somebody getting divorced once or twice, but once you get to the third and fourth, you're the common denominator in all of those things. You are not utilizing the wisdom that God gave you. There has to be red flags along that road of the person that you chose that popped up while you're still dating. Now, I get it. The real man that you're dating is not the real man that's going to come out later. Because men will put on their best face forward. Right? We want to impress the ladies. So we behave a certain way. We are polite. When's the last time you opened the door for your wife? I honestly can't tell you. And that just popped into my head, and shame on me. Shame on me. But we have people around us. The Proverbs often says, seek out guidance. When my daughter, Ashley, who's sitting in the back row, she took a shining to this young man after high school. And I've told this story before. She texted me because we were always very involved in who they dated. Let's back up the trailer just a little bit, though. Before my girls went into high school, the rule was you're not dating anyone until you're 16. So just get it out of your head. And so my daughter was in middle school. We're backing the trailer up a little bit more. And this young man wanted to date her. And so her response to the young man was, I cannot date until I'm 16. And the young man said, well, why? And she said, because that is the rule that my dad made. And he goes, oh, well, I won't call you at home or anything. We can just be boyfriend and girlfriend and date here at school. Hold hands and, you know, and this stuff. And she said, you don't understand. when my dad finds out, he's going to kill you and then me. And she came home from school that day and she told me what had happened. And I said, nicely done. But here's what's going to happen. He's going to ask you again. And he's going to say, but I love you. And she like, what? So she goes to school the next day. She comes home the next day. She comes, opens the door, and I'm standing there. And she goes, I hate it when you're right, Dad. He did. He said that he loved me. And she said, how did you know that? I said, because I was that little bugger in middle school. I understand how they think. I understand how they operate. I understand how they are because I was one of those. And then I told her, he's going to tell someone else that he loves them soon, and he'll probably do it in front of you. Comes home about a week later, opens the door. Dad, I hate it when you're right. And when she took a shining to her husband now, she texted me. She says, Dad, what do you know about this Andrew? And I said, I've never heard of him. So guess what I did? He went to East Valley. So I got on the phone, and I called up Roger Williamson. I said, Roger? Because he knew everybody at East Valley. I said, Roger, what do you know about this Andrew Mastronardi? Oh, his parents are great. So you didn't answer my question, Roger. And everyone that I asked, I was doing my due diligence as a father. And everyone I asked said the very same thing. Oh, his parents are great. Well, I've known great parents with not so great kids. I wanted to know. But what was a blessing to me is that she came and asked me, what do you know about this guy? What do you think about? That was wisdom. Because if there was something rotten down that road, I would have let her know. I had a friend of mine who was in a miserable, miserable relationship. They fought all the time. They were living together. And he came to work and he was just angry all of the time. And delivered medical supplies to the hospitals. And so everything that we had were in bins, these totes that fold, the lid folds open, and we had different sizes. And one day he was in a rare mood, and he would throw the totes and crack them. And one day we had them all stacked, and he started pulling a tote out. It's cracked. Can't send that one, FedEx. Pulled another one. It's cracked. Throws it on the ground. Another one. Pulls it. Throws it on the ground. And he goes, why are all these totes broken? And me and my other buddy are just laughing at him, which made him even more mad. Well, he wanted to marry this girl. And all of his friends and workers said, don't do it. Just because you get married, it doesn't make anything better. It's not going to change. And he wouldn't listen. And Belinda and I went to the wedding, and driving away, I told Belinda, I give this marriage about a year. 8 months later, he was getting divorced. And she was getting a lot of his stuff. We told him. His answer was always this, but I love her. But I love her. He blew past thousands of red flags and warnings because his answer was, but I love her. Your heart will lie to you. It will deceive you. Every song that's ever been written that says, oh, follow your heart. No, don't. Engage your mind. Utilize that organ, because your heart will lead you down places that you normally wouldn't go if you were actually engaging your mind. Amen? I do not know how I got here, but here I am. Wisdom. Okay, yes. We are given just enough wisdom. Wow. Somebody's listening. We are given just enough wisdom to ask for more. In Job 28, verses 25 to 28, when he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and he tested it. And he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To shun evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is recognizing that he's way smarter than we are. Way smarter than we are. Sometimes we don't always realize that, but he truly is. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We're going to move on a little bit here. So some of the words of wisdom in Proverbs are many lines, paragraphs long, and chapters as well. And they are a continuous thread devoted to one topic. There are other words of wisdom or categories contained in one or two lines that have nothing to do with the previous or the following verses. I like to call these parts of Proverbs rapid fire. It's just like bang, bang, bang. They have nothing to do with each other, but they all hit home. So we're going to take a look at a few of those. Proverbs 3:33 says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. His curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. What makes a home righteous? The spiritual leader of the home will determine whether that home is righteous or it is cursed. The spiritual leader of the home, as God designed it, is always the man. Unfortunately, there's a lot of men out there that ain't worth their salt. And then that responsibility falls upon the mom. And God bless the single mothers. But you have the power to determine whether your house is righteous or not righteous. That lies in us. Joshua said it this way in 24:15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You see, they had gone into the promised land. And Joshua is talking to the people and say, choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods of the nations around us, or are you going to serve the God who led us into this place, who led us out of Egypt, out of slavery, and into this promised land that he gave to Abraham hundreds of years before? You choose. And then it said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He had the authority to say, my house will serve the Lord. Now, sometimes in that house that has been declared righteous, there may be some inhabitants in that house that ain't so righteous. But you still have the authority in your house to say, my house will serve the Lord. And then it's up to us to do everything possible. Sometimes littler people can get a little rebellious. That does not take away from the authority that you have in your house. You still have that authority in the spiritual realm. And you need to pray for every person in that house on a daily basis. Pray for wisdom. Pray for patience, because sometimes things get a little hectic in the home. Pray for peace in your home. Pray for understanding. Be aware of where your kids are going and who they're hanging out with. Keep an eye out. And the reason I was so strict with my girls was because I didn't want them to go down certain roads that I had gone down. It's just a fact. And they, wait for it, they have said thank you. They have said thank you. Just yesterday, my other daughter was sitting in the living room, and she said, "Dad, Mom, I want to thank you." And there's nothing that gives you more joy than your kids saying thank you. And she said, "I want to thank you for teaching us how to do certain things, how to use tools, how to fix things." One year at youth camp, one kid was using the bathroom. It was a common area, and one kid was using the bathroom, and the bathroom started to overflow. So he just walked out and let it overflow. And my daughter walked past it and saw water on the ground. And my daughter walked over and turned the water off to the toilet. This kid didn't even know there was a turnoff for water to the toilet. But she took care of the problem because why? We taught her. We had taught her. So teach your kids. Learn them good. Learn them good. And young people, when your mom and dad say no to something that you really want, it's not just them trying to be mean. There was a party that my daughter, and I won't name her name, but Ashley really wanted to go to this party. And I said, "Who's there? Who's going to be there?" "Oh, so-and-so, 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 so-and-so. Are the parents going to be there?" "I don't know." Wrong answer. And she listed off the kids, and I knew some of the kids, and they were kind of a little more like I was in high school. And I said, "No, you can't go." So she wasn't able to go to the party. Well, it had gotten around to some of the parents that they were going to have a kegger. And so they crashed the party, a bunch of parents, and got in trouble. And my daughter wasn't there. And she said, "Thank you for not letting me go to that party." And I said, "You're welcome." And we moved on. My girls understood a little earlier than some that mom and dad kind of know what they're talking about. Belinda had a gift given to her by the Holy Spirit. She knew when one of our daughters was up to something that she wasn't supposed to be up to. And Belinda would go, we need to go to the game. We need to go to," and I'm like, "What?" She goes, "I just feel like we're supposed to go pick up our daughter." I went, "Okay." So we went to the ball game at East Valley, and there's my daughter sitting in the stands with a young man with his arm around her. And I went, well, that looks rather friendly. Especially because we had a rule, you're not dating anyone unless I meet him first. And I didn't know this kid from Adam. So we pulled up behind the bleachers and rolled down the window. And Belinda said her name. And you should have seen the look on her face and the look on the young man's face. And all we had to do was say, get in the car. It happened a couple times with Belinda. The Holy Spirit would let her know, get home. Something's going on. And the girls were like, how do you know this? I said, well, we didn't know, but God knew, God saw, and God let Belinda know. Because I didn't have that gift. But she did. It didn't happen very often, but you know what? God will do that. He wants nothing more than the best for our families. He wants peace in the home. He wants encouragement in the home. There's enough garbage that we go through on a daily basis in this world. There should be a place that your kids could come home, and it should be a fortress that doesn't allow the crap from this world to enter. It should be a safe place. Kids need that. They need that. Amen? I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. These words were written down a long time ago for our benefit. I wish that I had been a little bit wiser when I was growing up. I was a good Catholic boy, and that's an oxymoron. There ain't no such thing as a good Catholic boy. They're just better at not getting caught. Because I grew up going to parochial school for 8 years, and the nuns saw everything. And this is back when they could still smack you. And they were really good. Certain ones were really good at wielding a ruler. Now, you young people probably don't know what a ruler is. It's a stick. And some of those sticks had a little metal slip on the outside for when you're tracing a real straight line. Now, if you were in trouble, you'd get smacked with the flat side of the stick. If you were really in trouble, they flipped it on its side and left a mark. Do we have time for a short story? Yes. I'm going to tell you a short story about life growing up in a Catholic school. Some of the nuns were sweet as pie. A majority of the nuns were angry, bitter people. And I always seemed to get the latter as my teacher. We had a boy in school. His name was Archie Thurr. Does that sound like trouble already? Archie Thurr. And he got in trouble constantly. And he got in trouble, and it was time for science class, and he was in trouble, so he had to go up and sit on the side of her desk while she did the teaching on the floor. And when you're in a parochial school like I was, you had a uniform that you had to wear. We had to wear salt and pepper corduroy pants For those of you who don't know corduroy, when you walk, it goes vroom, 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 vroom. So everywhere you went, you heard vroom, 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 vroom. And you had to wear a collared shirt and a blue sweater, long sleeve sweater, and it had pockets on the sides. And you're all thinking what I looked like then, aren't you? So the lesson was on a compass and how to use a compass and how it works and the magnetic field and everything like that. And she set that compass on the side of her desk near Archie and continued to talk and explain the magnetic field and everything. And she goes, and the only thing you want to be careful of is don't ever put a magnet next to it, because it'll ruin the magnetic field. And so she's continuing to talk, and Archie has his hand in his pocket. And with his hand in the pocket, he starts lifting his sweater up over the top of the compass. Guess what Archie happened to have in his pocket? A magnet. And she turned around and saw him with his hand in his sweater pocket like this. She said, "Archie Third, do you have a magnet in your pocket?" "No." And she went over there and reached into his pocket, grabbed the thing, and then kicked him. You want to wonder why I am the way I am? The nuns. They'll do a number on you. Am I right, Nathan? Yes. Jared? Yes. Any other parochial schoolers? Recovering parochial schoolers? Use wisdom. Don't put a magnet over a compass, or you're going to get kicked. And with that, I am done. Please stand.
Wisdom, the correct application of what we know. We can only be as wise as what we've invested in to learn about. I love this message. It's near and dear to my heart. If I've shared that message once, I've shared it a million times. The young people need to grasp that concept. Old people need to grasp that concept. Because some of us old people don't grow up fast enough. Amen. What a great message. I'll just share with you that I don't have as many colorful messages as or stories about my child rearing years, though I do know that scripture is accurate. What you teach your kids will come back to produce fruit after they have grown up. True story. Jim and I were talking beforehand, and he kind of gave me a little prelude of what he was talking about today, and he shared some of his stories. And, you know, as Jim does, he got teary-eyed and kind of choked up. Tell me about, you know, how awesome it is to hear thank you. I have thank you moments, and we all do. It's just you got to be patient long enough to hear the thank you. Right? Doesn't mean they're perfect and got it all figured out yet, but they're on their way. That thank you is demonstration of the wisdom that they learned from had their experiences with you. And it's, as we go out into the world, as we leave this place, remember, everybody that you run into is having an experience with you. Is that experience going to produce fruit? Is there one day, if you ever ran into that person again, are they going to tell you, "Thank you for sharing the truth with me. Thank you for demonstrating the truth for me. Thank you for sharing just a piece of your life with me." That's the investment that God's asked every one of us to invest in our community, to invest in ourselves first, then we can invest in those around us. And I know, here goes Larry. He's talking about evangelism again. He's talking about sharing. He's talking about, you know, testifying and testimony. How did you end up here? So someone doing the exact same thing for you. We are to be fishers of men. That means there's got to be something to hook them with. And it's not your stunning personality, trust me. It's because you cared enough about your God that you shared that with someone else. Be it in example, be it in a shared wisdom, be it in just the experiencing life with them so that they would have the encouragement to make the step that you did. Wisdom, the correct application of knowledge. What do you know? I don't know unless you show me. Right? And neither does anyone else. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word, all of the word. We thank you, Lord, that we have new hope to where we can gather together in your name, that we can learn and be reminded of what life is really about. Father, thank you for the message today. Thank you for everyone that is here. We pray a blessing on everyone in this place and every family that is represented here today. Father, we pray your hand of blessing upon each and every one of us. Lord, guide us, show us, give us wisdom. Lord, help us gain knowledge. Let us live a life that brings glory to you, and only by your hand and by your help can we get it done. We offer this up to you, Lord God, that we would produce fruit on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. Bless this day until we meet again. Amen. You are dismissed.